Thinking very much about this one point which I made yesterday, that when we come to a festival, it means we need to first of all see that we arrive. What I meant is that we all live such busy life nowadays, and we are involved with so many things. I spoke with one of you and said, well, we live in this age where the demands on our time, demands on our attention will only increase. It will not become less, it will become more, really. So in that time, we have to really learn to not be spread out in all the millions of things which we do, the many relationships which we cultivate through what's up and what's down. Mm-hmm. But it's very important that we learn to just be content, really, in what we are doing right now. So I wanted to help you all to arrive in three ways, really. We are now in a temple where Krishna is in the center, he's on the altar. That's one way. We are in a sangha of devotees, many devotees which we have wished to see over the years are either here or will be coming. And then we are also celebrating Lord Nityananda and a birthday of a certain individual. So all these require our attention. We need to arrive in this way here. In my lecture yesterday evening, I wanted to make one other point. Hare Krishna, Madhupati, welcome. The point which I wished to make is that, yes, we are all on this journey, and the journey never, ever, let us say, commences or goes on or happens exactly in the way we planned. There are always surprises to us and also to others happening on this journey. And there, on this journey, we will be seeing the very good parts of our personality. That is that part which so eagerly wants to come close in this life to Krishna. But we will equally see those parts in our personality which still are rooms for improvement, let me say it like this, the weak parts in us. We will see the things which in psychology are called the inner shadows. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, all this will come up and we will see it. So I wanted to give this message yesterday that no matter how it goes in our life, you may be up, you may be down, this is part of the journey, this part of the development. It is not something to be too much surprised. And when the worst thing happens, that means when you are confronted with your weakness, your bad qualities, and when even you should fail on your promises and on your and so on, you can see that as stepping stones, as I think the English word is rungs on the ladder. on this S. Stairways, steps on the stairways, which will bring you to the kingdom of God, because Krishna is willing to protect his devotee. Krishna is willing to stay with us. He walks only two steps behind us, ready to catch us, as long as we remain faithful and we remain connected with him, or we are turning to him. That was my message. I was wanting to give you hope. I wanted to give you, in some cases, consolations. I wanted to give you, help you to relax a little bit, because we all have this inner critic in us who's so critical towards, when you are a little bit mature, you are critical to yourself. If you're not so mature, you are critical towards others and the environment. It's an inner critic. It constantly speaks. So put him to rest. Let him relax that inner critic. Let him be silent and content. Because Madhava, the husband of the goddess of fortune, is willing to protect his devotees even against the greatest obstacles on their way back to him. But only those devotees who keep connection with him. Good. This was my first message. Today I will give another message. It will be quite, at least for me, it is a great discovery. I hope it will be useful for you. Also, let us just sing.
Nicht so laut und genau im Takt bleiben. Nicht zu schnell, nicht zu langsam.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Ora Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopinana Vallava Giri Varadari Vallava Giri Varadari Gopijana Vallava Giri Varadari Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Nandana Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Nandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yeah. Deyadadhamadhava Tunya Vihadi Deyadadhamadhava Sunya Vihari Nidaya Radha Madhava Sunya Vihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada,
Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada,
Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Siddhadhe. Gaura Premanandi, Hari 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 Bo. Oops. Here. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Prasangam Majaram Pasham. Atmano Kavayo Vido, Saeva Sadhu Shukrito, Moksha Dwaram Apavritam, Prasangam Majaram Pasham. Atmana Kavayo Vidu, Saeva Sadhu Shukrito, Moksha Dwaram Apavritam, Prasangam Majaram Pasham. Atmana Kavayo Vidu, Saeva Sadhu Shukrito,
Saeva Sadhu Shukrito,
Mokshadvaram Apavritam.
Mokshadvaram Apavritam.
Yes, please, someone else. Jeez, please. Sukhito Moksha Dvaram Apavritam. Pasangam, attachment. Ajadam, strong. Pasham, entanglement. Atmanaha, of the soul. Kavayaha, learned men. Viduhu, no. Saeva, that same. Sadushu, to the devotees. Kritaha, applied. Mokshadvaram, the door of liberation. Apavritam, opened. The translation of this beautiful verse, every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. So, we learn here that attachment to material things is an entanglement. You become attached to one thing, for instance, good cloth. Then it's not enough to have just one shirt and one something for... But when you are attached to good cloth, you want more good cloth. Finally, you end up to want to have good clothing for every week. Or I've seen devotees who clothe every day in different ways. Sometimes twice a day they change the dress because this is the problem of material attachment. You become attached, and then again, you want more and more and more and more. More apps on the mobile telephone. More, what is it? I am not so, you know. More glasses of apple juice. No, that's... that's an entanglement for the soul, this material attachment. The huge advancement of technology has shown, you know, human beings wanted to use the technology, but now very often we have the impression that technology uses them. They are very busy with everything technology offers. Entanglement in material life. So that attachment is there, but we can make it our friend, the attachment, by putting it on devotees. You know, we can think, oh, there are devotees who speak so nicely about Krishna. Let me download their lectures. Oh, there are festivals where we can hear about Krishna, where we can sing Krishna's name. Let me attend these festivals. Let me cultivate my attachments for devotees. This is not always easy, because human beings are like porcupines. Stachelschweine. When a porcupine is far away from other porcupines, he thinks, ah, oh, so cold, especially in January or February. And they want to come close to other porcupines to be warm. But when you come close, when they come close to each other, they have these spikes, you know, and they pierce each other. And then they run away from each other again. So human beings are, in terms of relationships, often like porcupines. They feel, oh, I need somebody, I need others around me, I need sadhus. But then when we come close, we find mistakes and we run away from them. No? This is the human condition. But if we can understand and analyze it, where, you know, our spikes, our envy or our bad qualities come out when we are with others, and we can bring that down, we can look, then we can derive the greatest benefit by being with devotees and developing attachment for devotees. So Prabhupada writes a purport, which is very nice. Here it is clearly stated that attachment for one thing is the cause of bondage to a conditioned life, and the same attachment, when applied to something else, opens the door of liberation. Attachment cannot be killed. It has simply to be transferred to something else. Attachment for material things is called material consciousness, and attachment for Krishna or his devotees is called, yes, or Krishna consciousness. Consciousness, therefore, is the platform of attachment. It is clearly stated here that when we simply purify the consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness, we attain liberation. Despite the statement that one should give up attachment, desirelessness is not possible for a living entity. A living entity by constitution has the propensity to be attached to something. That's how we are wired. That's how we are made. We see that if someone has no no object of attachment, for instance, if he has no children, then he transfers his attachments to cats and dogs. This we see. Mm. This indicates that the propensity for attachment cannot be stopped. It must be utilized for the best purpose. Our attachment for material things perpetuates means that it prolongs our conditional state, but the same attachment, when transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee, is the source of liberation. It's a deep point, isn't it? You always will be attached. As long as you are alive, you will be attached. That is because this is how we are made. Just like this Ragini, as long as it is alive and I don't shut it down, it will make sound. Some sound or another. Or maybe this sound will be there in some form or another. So attachment will always be there in our lives. And Prabhupada says we can transfer our attachment. Narottam Das Thakur gives a list how to take care of various attachments, what to do with lust, for instance, what to do with anger, and all these strong emotional feelings which bring us towards the material energy, how to transfer them to spiritual objects. There's only one thing which you cannot which you have to stop: envy. You know that you can't engage envy in Krishna service. It's not possible. But otherwise, everything else is possible. All these strong emotions. Here it is recommended that attachment should be transferred to the self-realized devotees, the sadhus. And who is a sadhu? A sadhu is not just an ordinary man with a saffron robe or a long beard. A sadhu is described in Bhagavad Gita as one who unflinchingly engages in devotional service. Even though one is found not to be following the strict rules and regulations of devotional service, if one simply has unflinching faith in Krishna, the Supreme Person, he is understood to be a sadhu. Sadhu eva samantavya. A sadhu is a strict follower of devotional service. And it is recommended here that if one at all wants to realize Brahman or spiritual perfection, his attachment should be transferred to the sadhu or devotee. Lord Chaitanya also confirmed this. Lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi haya. Simply by a moment's association with a sadhu, one can attain perfection. Mahatma is a synonym of sadhu. It is said that service to a Mahatma or elevated devotee of the Lord is Dwaram Ahur Vimuktehe, the royal road of liberation. Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktes Tamodvaram Yoshitam Sangi Sangam. Rendering service to the materialists has the opposite effect. If anyone offers service, are you with me? Are you awake?
Yes.
Is the oxygen enough for you? Or would you like to have a little bit more air to breathe? Is this all right? If anyone offers service to a gross materialist or a person engaged only in sense enjoyment, then by association with such a person, the door to hell is opened. The same principle. Sometimes devotees think, well, I have to work. Is now the door to hell open because I serve my CEO or my boss or my well, it's definitely not the case, because if you're not attached to your CEO or boss, and you keep your attachment for other things. But if you become attached and totally involved and want to serve a materialist hand and foot because you like him, you like his project, and so on, then you will imperceptibly take on material qualities which will come in your heart. The same principle is confirmed here. Attachment to a devotee is attachment to the service of the Lord, because if one associates with a sadhu, the result will be that the sadhu will teach him how to become a devotee, how to become a worshipper, and how to become a sincere servitor of the Lord. These are the gifts of a sadhu. No, wonderful. The sadhu teaches us how to become a devotee, a worshipper, and a sincere servitor. These are the gifts. If we want to associate with a sadhu, we cannot expect him to give us instructions on how to improve our material condition. But he will give us instructions on how to cut the knot of the contamination of material attraction and how to elevate ourselves in devotional service. That is the result of associating with a sadhu. Kapila Muni first of all instructs that the path of liberation begins with such association. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Rani Prajanine Nivisesa Sunyavadi Asyadhyane Sadayine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Oops. This is a wonderful verse, really. It is one of my favorite verses, which I have read many, many times. And it has always helped me to see a dimension which needs to be addressed in our life. It is, what do we do with our attachments? They cannot be suppressed. They have to be, they cannot be killed either. They are the sign that we are alive. They are like our breath, our breathing. There, if you become disturbed by the little sound of your breathing and stop breathing, then after some time you will explode and really breathe. If you stop all types of attachment, after some time, they will come out. So this is not a mature way of dealing with attachments, to stop them, to, because we can understand they bring me to material life and not, they don't help me to become really satisfied in my life. What you can do is to take these attachments and transfer them to Krishna, to his devotees. And this is only possible, my dear devotees, if you develop a relationship to devotees, if you develop a relationship to Krishna. This morning, I wanted to talk about the next step, a possible next step in your spiritual life. What I have seen over the years where I'm in my my Krishna conscious journey, and what I've seen in many, many, many devotees who have come in contact with me, either when they had already decided to become devotees, or in the past I have met many people who were still in material life, but I happened to be their first contact. So what I've really seen over many, many years, I want to discuss this morning. I've seen that they're in the beginning quite enthusiastic for spiritual life, but after some time they become more concerned about their own desires and so on. Kadamba Kanana Maharaj has observed that also. He said, in the beginning it's mission, 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 and after some time it's me, me, me. Hare Krishna. That is an objective observation, and if you study your own life, you might feel, oh yes, in the beginning I was different from what I'm now. I feel different, I have different expectations in my life and in others, and so on. You might see that also. Today I don't want to approach it from this perspective. Mission, mission, mission turns into me, 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 or the concern to spread Krishna consciousness turns into a concern to lead a life without troubles and miseries and so on. No, I want to talk about something else, a positive approach to the thing. I want to talk about the heart of bhakti. And I want to talk about this because I made an experience which surprised me and shocked me in my own life. Perhaps it is known by now, I'm going every year to Vrindavan to do two things. For 1 month, I want to just chant and study the works which tell us more about Radha and Krishna in our tradition. So then, when that is over, I'm so happy to be part of the Govardhan retreats. You must visit us. Please make a plan to visit us. Either this year or another year. We are also now blessed by Giriraj to build a beautiful, beautiful retreat center where we have rooms with attached bathrooms, yes, for all of you, so that you can retreat, study the books, chant, and be just next to the greatest of Krishna's devotees who can bless you and support you. So these two things I'm doing in Vrindavan: personal development of Krishna consciousness, and then spreading Krishna consciousness or preaching Krishna consciousness in the wonderful atmosphere of the Holy Dham. Now, in this year, I made a very shocking experience. I always fix up for the day a very great number of chanting the holy names. If you, it's in spiritual circles, you never talk about the details of your personal worship. So I cannot say more than that. This time I found out I couldn't keep up my vow, my vrata. Over the years, by preaching, my physical body had become weaker. My back could not sit. I couldn't sit for so long. My breathing had become shorter. You know, all the symptoms of old age were there, and I just could not finish the amount of rounds which I am usually, which is no problem, was no problem. And I was extremely, I thought, my God, does Krishna not accept me any longer? Does Krishna not accept my attempt to please him? And it was a little bit like a crisis, because I wanted to give the Lord something and I couldn't do it. I don't know if you have ever been in this situation. You so much want to do something for Krishna, but everything goes wrong. This goes wrong, that goes wrong. And you just can't get yourself together. The days pass and they are less spiritual. You're not inspired. This was a big problem for me, really, because the whole year I'm hoping for this time, I'm living for this time, and now complete failure. I was very, very disturbed. And of course, like Germans are technology-minded, and I'm into spiritual technology, you know, what can work to control the mind, what can work to bring the consciousness on another level. I'm all about this type of technology. Maybe some breathing, maybe some meditational skills, maybe a change in diet, maybe reading this scripture, maybe meditating about the content. Ooh, spiritual technologies. Nothing worked. To give a modern example, maybe someone wants to make a phone call and his phone doesn't work. I've seen Gokrishna despairing over his old mobile telephone. Now a new telephone is there, which is okay, but the old one was showing symptoms of old age. So this technology didn't work. And he was going like, trying to make the connection, didn't work. So I was in my spiritual technology, nothing worked. And I needed to make that phone call to Krishna. It was absolutely necessary. I wanted to give him this, and I was desperate. Then I heard a lecture by one of my exalted God brothers, and he talked, and he made a point that Mahaprabhu had, before Mahaprabhu's time, people chanted also, but with Mahaprabhu's appearance and after Mahaprabhu, the chanting developed a total different direction. It was chanting with feelings, whereas before it was just a process which you would do to chant japa, a meditational process. More or less, japa belongs to the dhyana category, meditation. But here, it's something else. It is addressing the Lord with feelings. And I heard this. It was quite inspiring, but it didn't register, didn't make click. I needed to struggle another day. And then in the night, the subconscious mind of any person, also a devotee, digests information and looks for solutions. It works in you. You have to digest it. No, something happens inside. And the next morning, I knew the solution. I had become attached to the external aspects of this practice, finishing so and so many rounds. But I had forgotten to Krishna in the process. As strange as it sounds, I wanted to fulfill a certain number, but I did forget that it's all about serving Krishna, being close to Krishna. So on that day, I said goodbye, numbers. I'm not thinking about numbers any longer. I will not even count my rounds. There are many, many more rounds than 16 rounds. And anyways, you know, when you have the whole time, the whole day time, forget about the numbers. I do not know how many rounds I chanted on this day because I didn't count it. The next day I decided to count the rounds, but not chant with the motive I need to finish this amount of rounds. Just be with each mantra, be with each round, be with Krishna in the form of his holy name, in the holy Dham, and like this. I counted the round, it was less than my quota, because then I said, I don't mind. This was a wonderful day. I was really with Krishna. I felt Krishna in my heart and so on. Then a few days after, I noticed, whoops, I'm more than my quota. But I didn't pay so much attention because I wanted to chant in a different way. And then each day there were more rounds. And then I came to this phenomena. The day was finished. I mean, you have to end at one stage to go to bed. And I didn't want to go to bed. I wanted to chant more. Said, wonderful. I mean, this is life, no? If you begin to become attached to Krishna consciousness, that's very nice, you know. And nowadays, when I chant each day. Now I cannot chant so many rounds because I have service over the whole day, but I chant the minimum number of rounds, which you also chant. I remember this. And when I sit down, I'm just happy to be with Krishna. I'm just happy to relish the holy name, to be with the holy name. And by making this shift, I discovered something which I think is the heart of bhakti, the life force of bhakti, the real element of bhakti. I had said goodbye. I hope it's a long goodbye. It will come, I think, again. This mistake. I'm not so such an advanced devotee, but I have seen this Kati, and this was the greatest blessing for me. I've seen you must think about the heart of bhakti. I read a very nice quotation of Prabhupada in the ninth chapter of the Gita. Text 2, he says, God accepts only the love with which things are offered to him. He's not interested in numbers, in these external things. That is for us, these external things, but not for God. We need to somehow get going and get into the mood if we don't set up regulations for us, we will never walk the spiritual path. But when we want to do bhakti, that is an activity for Krishna, he wants our attachment, our feelings, and so on. No? And this is what this verse talks about. Attachment to material things is the greatest obstacle for the soul. It involves you. Attachments for... But the same attachment needs to be put to the service, to the devotee, who will teach us three things, he said in his purport, which all have to do with this, with the heart of bhakti. He said, here, pasangam acharam. Yes. Sadhu will teach him how to become a devotee, a worshipper, and a sincere servitor of the Lord. You know, in Krishna consciousness, in the nectar of devotion, two types of bhakti are described. Cheshtarupa, that is Cheshtarupa bhakti, and Bhava Rupa bhakti. Cheshta Rupa Bhakti refers to the efforts which we do. No? Come to Artik, pay obeisances, various things. And Bhava Rupa Bhakti refers to the mood, the internal mood. Now, Bhava, this exact philosophical description is given in Bhava Bhakti. That's a high stage where you are in the ecstasy. You feel the ecstasy of love of Godhead. There you say Cheshta, there you do activities, Cheshta Rupa Bhakti. And there you also do it with Bhava, with an ecstatic, loving mood, Bhava Rupa Bhakti. But these two things, effort and love, is already trained in the lower stages of bhakti, when a devotee is not yet on bhava, in bhava. When you study the 64 principles of bhakti, which devotees do from the beginning, when they are on the platform of bhajana kriya, the beginning stages of Krishna conscious activity. When you study what they do, you will find activities that are that have an external form. Going to a temple, giving something to the Lord, etc., these 64 angas. But you find also a few things which refer to the heart, to the development of the strengths and the strengthening of the heart. For instance, I found these. You very feelingly offer yourself to Krishna. How? By offering feelingly prayers. By humbly submitting, saying, "Oh Krishna, I am fallen, and you are the friend of the fallen. Please take care of me." And see, by the desire to come to the perfectional stage, "Oh Krishna, one day I wish so much to be on the banks of the Yamuna, to be with your eternal servants. to be with the servants of Srimati Radharani, and I want to serve. This is necessary to be done at the beginning, because otherwise you could just do things with your body, but the mind remains the seat of attachment, remains attached to material things. No? Many religionists and other traditions have this problem. They do many things, but the mind is not purified. The heart is not purified. There is no Krishna, no God inside, and you can feel it. They are intolerant with each other. They are intolerant to those who follow a different path. They are judgmental. They are always troubled, although they do everything. When they sit together and have sangha, they talk about the mistakes of others. And you find this also in our movement, because the heart of these devotees is missing. They do all the activities which are there. They may be even doing kirtan from morning till evening, or like me, chanting rounds from morning till evening. But because they are not with the heart, their heart is not as dead, the spiritual heart. They make little advancement, and you can see it in their faces and in their lives. No, they're not happy people. Another thing where I found the heart, something to revive the heart. You should expect the Lord's mercy, like I was yesterday talking about this point. No. Draupadi says, I simply remember your promise, Krishna, to take care of your devotees. And by this remembrance, I live. This keeps me alive. In other words, what the next step means, you have to think about the mental culture of Krishna consciousness. We have use the word mental to describe someone who laments, who's sad all the time, who's, you know, mental, sentimental, mental. But here, this word is taken from Srila Prabhupada, is meaning something different. The mental culture of Krishna consciousness is meaning that you have to think about your attachment that must go to Krishna. And with your attachment, your feelings will go to Krishna. It's very important. Krishna only wants that. He is not needing the things which we offer him from this world. He's not the world. What is the world for the Lord? It's just a little bubble, because do you know that we are part of a little bubble called the universe, which is breathed out by one fraction of the Lord? He's not interested in this bubble. It's not just like when you are underwater and you breathe out, bubbles are coming and disappearing very, very quickly. Are you interested in these bubbles? You don't even look twice. He wants our heart. He wants our, yes. Love is a big word, but start with gratitude. Start with thinking of him favorably. Oh, you are so wonderful. You are very, very amazing, Krishna. You know the solution to everything, Krishna. Like this, you can start and in this way become advanced in Krishna consciousness and filled in your heart, not empty in your heart, no? Filled in your heart, alive in your life. When I was coming from Delhi to Vrindavan, there were devotees who gave such a wonderful reception. They were there the place where I stay, in this colony, Asundara. They gave a wonderful reception. And we had a discussion, how will we use our time in Vrindavan in the best way? It was my purpose to help the devotees who had come from the West to be in the Holy Dham for one intense month of Krishna conscious practice, to give them some inspiration how to make best use of their time. And I said, you have to work on your relationship to Krishna. You have visited Krishna, Radha and Krishna in their home place. Now don't stop before the door. Just go all the way. Go to Radha and Krishna. And then I told them, my dear devotees, for this you need to be aware of one thing. That is, your attachments have to be. And I said, only when you have a feeling for someone will you consider a genuine relationship with that person. If you have no feeling for anyone, you don't think of a relationship. Isn't it like this when we are in the big towns and we stand on the street for a little while? I don't know if you do this also. I always stand or sit down and I look at people passing by. Just little universes passing by. And because I have no relationship to the people, they just pass by. I don't think of going to them and talking, unless I want to preach and I want to find out who's my next how do we say this in proper English? My next person I preached to. But otherwise, they just pass by. Krishna could also just pass by your mind if you don't learn to develop a relationship. And the relationship only happens if you feel we have something, between us, there is something. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I told the devotees, he gives an example. Housewife will think about her troubled son and her oversized husband because she knows this is my son and my husband. But the housewife will not think about the moon like this, because the housewife cannot think my moon. It's not her moon. You know, such a thing which is so big, which is so far away for the husband, for the housewife, that she prefers to think about her troubled son and her oversized and psychologically defunct husband, you know. Because there is a feeling, my husband, my child, no? The feeling is not for the moon. The moon is cooling, beautiful, total different category, but she will not think about the moon. She may stop in the night when she's troubled, look on the moon, and then her eyes go, oh, my son, is he developing properly? Oh, my husband, is he overcoming his addiction to excess food? You know, he kills himself, you know, with eating too much every day. You know, so she will think about this. So in the same way, it could happen to the devotee that you will think about so many things which you call mine. My people, my neighbors, my friends, my also nice people, good people in your life, my inspirational friends, and so on. But you could maybe miss Krishna Chandra, the moon like Krishna, because you have not developed a relationship. Your heart of bhakti has not been revived. You are still on the very external platform of being active, but not in your heart. So obviously the question is, how do I develop these feelings? Rupa Goswami talks about this. He says this emotion or bhava is born in two ways. Either by the practice of sadhana, or for the extremely fortunate, by the mercy of Krishna or his bhaktas. But the first is common, the second is rare. Means most of the time, the devotional feelings for Krishna will develop by regular sadhana, by spiritual practice. But in some cases, rare cases, which we hope will happen to all of us the day after tomorrow, these things can happen, or proper devotional feelings can develop by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, or by the mercy of Krishna, you know, by the mercy of God, or by the mercy of sadhus. This is our desire, my dear devotees. This is the next step. Ask yourself, how much do you think of Krishna during the day? Train yourself to think more of Krishna during the day. After all, he said, so, man mano bhava, here is the word, mat bhakto, come into the, think of me and come into the mood. Bhava, bhava is an inner state, it is a mental state of the heart, of thinking like a devotee of Krishna. And that will bring you from the beginner in Krishna consciousness, who is most often involved with the world and is suffering from the ups and downs of the world, it will bring you to the next stage in your spiritual life, where you will be a happy Vaishnava and a happy Vaishnavi. Many of you have asked me, what presents do you want to have for your birthday? And I can only say, I have everything, really. I have a pullover. My thermos is closing still very nicely. It is very intact. I have a ragini. This is a luxury item. I have books. I have something to eat. Should I now think, oh, what technological gimmicks are there which entangle me into the material world? Maybe I should have a most simple mobile telephone, which is not yet invented, or anything, you know. And I have to say, I have everything. I'm a happy old man. I have everything. What I'm missing to see is happy devotees. If that one thing could be there in my life, happy devotees who are well engaged, who are loving Krishna, who are talking about Krishna, then the life would be perfect. Then I have many unhappy disciples. I have also very happy disciples, but you know, I'm thinking of them. Oh, they are not so, it doesn't work for them. What could work? Oh, they have made a distance to me. It's a good sound. It's a little melancholic sound of a mobile telephone. No, it is good. It's a melancholic sound. They are sad in their lives. The blues of their life goes on. Sometimes they're up, sometimes they're down. They quarrel, especially in the southern provinces of the empire. Oh, and they are hurting each other unnecessarily. Oh, what can be done? What should be done? melancholic sound has stopped, so we can. So I want happy devotees, and I think it happens when we each develop, all devotees do the next step in their life and discover the heart of bhakti. It helped me. I was really surprised that I had to undergo this lesson. It was a major breakthrough in my spiritual life in Kartik this year. It was really... I never could imagine that I can become so much more happy. I was the most blissful person in the universe. I mean, sometimes it still was a struggle, because then I got the idea, okay, now I can finish my round, all my rounds and more very easily. Let's use it. But you can't make bhakti into a technique. Is love a technique which you learn? No, it develops in a loving heart which understands there's Krishna. There's something between us. It's my Krishna, you know, my Radharani, and this is my relationship. So this is what I wanted to talk about today. I hope you have. I want to end actually with a little story from the Mahabharata. I've said it already 5 times, but it belongs to this lecture, where Krishna taught us, his devotees, that he only wants this, the heart of bhakti. It was when Krishna made a last attempt to avoid the war between brothers. He had gone from to Hastinapur, where Duryodhana was already preparing his army for the battle with the Pandavas. Here, Krishna wanted to avoid the war, because both Pandavas and the Kauravas belong to one family, the Kuru dynasty. And Duryodhana knew Krishna was on his way to negotiate a peaceful solution. So he thought, he was not prepared for peace. Let me bring Krishna on my side. Like, I have already brought Bhishma on my side, Drona is on my side, Karna is on my side, so many Maharaj, Kripa is on my side, Kripacharya, my father is on my side, I can only win. And let me also try to bring Krishna on my side. I mean, I can offer him a lot of money. So when Krishna arrived in Hastinapur, there was a royal banquet, you know, means the best. There had never had been such a feast in Hastinapur. More than 108 preparations were there. I'm saying this very consciously, and 108 is a number important for devotees, no? More than 108 preparations. Everyone was there. Vidura was most properly there, the royal minister, because there was a royal reception for Krishna, which Duryodhana had arranged. But Krishna went to the house of Vidura, his devotee. Only his wife was in. She opened, and Krishna said, "I'm so hungry. I traveled the whole way without having anything." Vidura's wife said, "No problem. The palace is over there. There is the banquet." "No, I don't want to eat that food." "No, everything is there. All the items. Everything. My husband is there." "No, no, cannot eat this. See if you have anything. So Vidura's wife went into the kitchen, found some bananas, and brought in her haste and worry and anxiety, she prepared the bananas, and she wanted to throw the peel away, like you always do, but mistake. She threw the fruit away, the banana, and came back with a plate full of peel. Everyone knows peels are, at least up to this date, maybe the vegan people will develop a recipe from peels, but up to now, no one knows that peel is eaten. I've never heard, at least. So it's unconsumable, but maybe with some proper food technology, it is, everything is possible nowadays, but not in that time. So Krishna took the peel and he accepted it. Later, the next morning, he came to Duryodhana, and Duryodhana was totally disappointed. Where were you, Vasudev? We waited all an evening, and then we couldn't wait any longer. We ate this wonderful feast, which was cooked in your honor. Anyways, he said, let's start with the negotiations. You can sit on my throne. Krishna said, I don't want to sit on your throne, Duryodhana, because you hate my dear devotees, the Pandavas. Sitting on your throne for me means sitting on needles. They're devotees. And I also don't want your food, Duryodhana, because in order to be hungry, one of two conditions must be there. First of all, you must have a material body. I don't have a material body. I'm full of, my body is full of bliss and knowledge and eternal. Satchidananda. Krishna can say like this, no? And the second condition is, when the person who offers the food does it full of love, then you accept the food because of the love of the person. And this condition is also not fulfilled because you don't love me, Duryodhana. Therefore, I can't eat your food. It's not possible. I ate at Vidura's house. I don't think, by the way, that Krishna took the banana peel in a literal way, because, as he said, he's not hungry. He accepted the love of Vidura's wife, that she brought something as a loving offering. She made a mistake, but Krishna didn't say mistake. He just left it like that. So my dear devotees, Krishna is interested in whatever, when you develop the heart of bhakti, not just the external body. Like Prabhupada says, God accepts only the love with which things are offered to him. So this is the next step. Make your heart full of love. Make your heart full of... You would think this is very high level. I understand. Then think of Krishna with your mind. Learn to offer things to Krishna. Learn to associate amongst yourself so that Krishna is in the center. That you talk about your own life in Krishna consciousness, your own development. We have, for instance, I have an assistant, harmonium player and everything. We are talking very often about Krishna because there's so much to discuss about Krishna. There is, he often talks about how Gopal does this and Gopal does that in his life. And we think, well, Gopal is really amazing. He's up to something. He's from London, so the London English is a little simple English. He's up to something. No? Let's say like this. Yes. So somehow we have to think of Krishna. Somehow all the other rules and all the other regulations which you do are only serving this principle. No? There's this verse which says, always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. This is the core of bhakti. All the rules and regulations are simply servants to this principle. Hare Krishna. And then you will be happy. Anyways, I have spoken enough. I hope I reached you. I'm not so sure. If you forget everything, remember just this one slogan, discover the heart of bhakti. This is what I wanted to say. This means also discover your own true heart. Develop your own true heart. Now your heart is cold. It is gone with material, the material energy. Bring your heart back and make it warm again. Make it natural again. Not a heart of glass. A heart of real life. Hare Krishna. Oh, finished! Do you have a question regarding these points? Ananga Manjari, I have seen. Who else? Nitananda, we will start there. I see also our Croatian devotees, Hemagori, you can ask them already to phrase their question in Croatian language to you, and then you know it when I will ask you. Yes? Yes. Who was? Ananga Manjari. Really?
Yes. Yeah. So I thought actually how important it is to see Krishna in all activities which we are performing. And this example, like this wife who is thinking of her husband and of her child, if she will think in the way, well, this is my dharma, and they are wonderful, I want to serve them, I want to do this for Krishna. So in this way, the activity is connected to Krishna, because sometimes we even see that direct activity performed for Krishna sometimes bring maybe just pride or some other
results. Yes, 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 we see.
And on the other side, the consciousness, motivation in whichever activity. So I was just thinking in this way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, you're correct. If we need to connect our all of our activities with Krishna, not fragment them. You are correct. There is even a verse, believe it or not, that all the activities which you do, including the hygienic activities, brushing teeth and everything, can be done, it should be done for the pleasure of Krishna. Imagine the heart of bhakti can be there everywhere and should be there. With your heart, is the heart alive only, the heart of bhakti only alive when you look at the deities? No, it should be always alive. And the way to do it is you connect everything. Like you as a mother are raising two Krishna-conscious children. The example of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was not referring to a devotee wife who serves her husband and the children. It was to you know, as devotees of Krishna, it was referring to someone who has no Krishna in the mind, like the materialistic wife who doesn't think of her family as members of Krishna's family, but who has no relationship with Krishna. No, it is going to such a this idea of connecting it. I'm very grateful for you to raise this subject, to connecting all of our activities to Krishna, including the very ordinary activities. What to speak of the higher activities? That's very important. Our profession, for instance, some of us are working, can be also offered to Krishna in the sense that we think while we are doing our work, we are offering some of the results of our work to Krishna. Or in a more direct way, not only that when we have the opportunities, I know we have one teacher amongst us who teaches in a regular school. I have heard the teacher often brings prasadam to the children and talks in her teachings, you know, I do not know if it's mathematics or physics or whatever is the teaching. She will bring spiritual ideas to the children and in this way connect. No, everything. I was very surprised. I should have written down the verse, but I was very surprised. Even activities like going to the bathroom, you know, and it's when you think, oh, I'm now getting rid of the, you know, this, we don't need to talk about it in detail. I'm getting rid of it for my good health, so that I can serve Krishna in good health. Imagine, this is the detail it goes to. Then, of course, yes. Good. Nityananda.
Maharaj, I was very intrigued in what you actually said. I know you've been in Krishna consciousness for tens of years. And what you actually just mentioned in this lecture was that this year, you had increased your love exceptionally, and something changed, and I wanted to know what that change was and what you did.
The change really was, I'm not here to fulfill a certain my plan, that is to chant a certain amount of numbers, to do a certain sadhana. At that time I read also in one of our acharya's work that Krishna is not impressed really by a lot of sadhana. He's impressed only by the devotional feelings. That impresses him. So by seeing this so clearly before my eyes, Krishna is not the sadhana, I'm doing these many rounds for me, really, so that I can think, wow, I'm a really mega japa man. You know, this is, I mean, I never think consciously like this, but I did feel, oh yeah, it's so nice to chant the so many extra rounds, and Haridas Thakur also did, and so on. Yes, wow, I'm on the right track here. But it's not about all of this. That was the change. It's really about developing the heart of bhakti, developing devotional feelings for Krishna, and forgetting the big amount of the effort, the big effort which I did. It was surprising to me because I had stumbled with the making efforts. I couldn't do them really. And then by making this very, you would say, this big paradigm shift, I entered a new world of Krishna consciousness. Of course, I always knew it's for Krishna. If you read this book, The Living Name, you will find a lot of this about it. This book was written before it was already finished. Was it printed? I don't know. Our printing is not so fast now. This is a very difficult to print book. But it was written for sure at that time. You will find a lot of on this. But just realizing it so clearly, being the man on the floor, you know, crushing down and being fully, I can't do this. I can't do this any longer. Where is my future? Being really, and then noticing, wow, there's a very, very good solution to this, made all the change. I guess spiritual realizations, when you share them with others, they think, so what? What is so special about it? Don't we know this? But when you really see this right in front of your eyes, it's a total new dimension. And so many things come, of course, with this. You begin to, while you chant and think of Krishna, there are many things which come. You all of a sudden, you begin to see spiritual reality before in the mirror of the heart. There's a lot of things happening, which I'm shy to speak in public. But this was the key to this. Sundarananda.
Thank you very much for sharing your personal experiences. Question arises, you mentioned that there are actually two ways of receiving bhakti. One is like exceptional and very rare, so we cannot count upon this because it's rare. And more common is practicing sadhana, but it seems also in your experience that there is a certain trap. That it's not a trap of in a sense that we can become for sadhana and self-complacent about this, but still in that sadhana we also need to have some kripa. To become sadhana with the heart of bhakti.
Some little drop.
How to avoid this? I was thinking when you were talking, is it just depends on our eagerness? Automatically, certainly it won't happen. Or what to do?
What to do? It first starts with the intention to this point. You must give attention to this point. And then when the attention falls on this point, I must really sincerely think now about what I'm doing. Am I doing it with Krishna in my mind? Am I offering it to Krishna? Am I thinking about Krishna, his qualities, his pastimes, and so on? Or am I just doing it disconnected from Krishna? It starts really with attention. And the moment you give attention to this, it's amazing what happens. I had once an experience in Tirol. I'm not so informed about modern life because I'm a simple man. I do not even know how to use a mobile telephone. I know it's the regular telephone. I know very well. It is very simple. But so one day, I was somewhere in Austria, in Vorarlberg. And I look into something. It was like a tunnel. And I see a poster of a rock and roll singer. And I notice the day when the musical concert is on. So I continue to drive, and I'm thinking, I never see these things, you know. You know, like you drive and there's so many things, but if I would ask you, what did you see when you drove through Abenteuer, we would say, houses, nothing more, you know. No details. I was thinking, why did I see this singer? And then I noticed I was cultivating this singer very closely. I was cultivating, and the singer has published songs, Hare Krishna songs on the CD and so on. So because I had attention to this person, I see his poster in the tunnel, in a dark tunnel. Whatever you have attention to, you begin to see many, many things about it. When a man, for instance, is very interested in women, he will see all kinds of women and how they dress and so on. But if he is not interested, if he is a renunciant, he just doesn't notice it. Another could, if he is an attached man, he could maybe tell you that the, anyways, not, we don't want to give examples which are not appropriate. You know, whatever you are becoming, give your attention to, can later turn into an increased perception of this. You see it everywhere working. This is how, this is what I have seen. So in this is what a preacher wants to do. He hopes by his lecture to raise attention to a point which was missing, and he hopes that the devotees will now pay attention to this point, and then they will discover a whole universe, a new universe. This is what you do as a preacher. Have you ever thought about this? Or the preacher will say, think about this very carefully in your own mind. And then, I see your point. I see it now. Oh, I see it. Like this. It works like this. If Prabhupada would not have helped us to look at Krishna, you know, we would not have seen anything about this. Now, as devotees, we see him working everywhere. I mean, or maybe depending on how mature we are, we are always with this idea of Krishna, Krishna. And when something happens, we say, Krishna's arrangement. Have you noticed? No? Because we understand now. He is behind everything. Krishna's arrangement. That's why I recommend so much to read daily the Bhagavatam, because points come up which you have overlooked. And then when you pay attention there, the whole day you are there. Like yesterday, I read one verse of the Bhagavatam about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I was thinking the whole day about it. It impressed me so much. So, giving attention. That's how love also starts. You may laugh about it, but there are some peoples, I know, couples, they never give attention to each other. They don't know each other after 10 years or 15 years. I have seen. because the attention is... That's how it starts. How does this person think? What does he feel? What is his universe? What is his perception? And then it starts with attention. This is how real relationships start. Not just being in one's own cosmos, so to say, but giving attention. And this is also how your Krishna consciousness starts and your love of Godhead starts. There's a very nice song. I like this song very. Can I quote this song for you? Thank you. I make a little music here. D is good. The living entity wanders in the material world, taking one birth after another. If by chance he comes in contact with a saintly person, he becomes immediately knowledgeable of his true identity as a pure spirit soul. Then he becomes enlightened by this knowledge, and he does not want material entanglement any longer. He thus laments, "Oh no, alas, in your language, oh vaya, why have I served this illusory material energy for so long?" He bitterly regrets and he cries out, "Krishna, my Lord, I'm your eternal servant. Ever since I left the shelter of your lotus feet, my life has been completely devastated, ruined, finished." And then it continues. You will find it on page 68, the whole prayer. It's a beautiful prayer of the Living Name Book. It's written by Jagadananda. And then it's written how when Krishna sees us, how we start to pay attention to him and say, "Alas, I was a Maya Das. I want to become a Krishna Das now." How he feels in his heart. And how he responds, he reciprocates by giving you spiritual strengths which you need to give up Maya. That's only possible by spiritual strength. Krishna himself responds, Sundarananda, believe it or not, if you sincerely turn to him. Although it is said here that Krishna's extraordinary mercy is rare, when he sees a devotee turning to him, that mercy comes. And then the impossible becomes possible. I totally agree with you. Even in sadhana, to do proper sadhana, we need Krishna's help. Otherwise, it's mechanic and dry. But the moment Krishna gives only a drop of his mercy, oh, it becomes full of nectar. The whole sadhana experience is no longer a duty, it's an association with Krishna, sitting on Krishna's lap. It is said here in the 11th canto, the supremely merciful Lord lifts a devotee who is absorbed in hearing about him and chanting. He lifts that devotee affectionately upon his own lap. Imagine if you can just chant with absorption, be there with your heart, hear about Krishna with absorption, then Krishna affectionately puts you on the lap, and then everything is all right. Everything is all right. I remember when Balaram appeared in this world, he was beautiful. His hair was nice. He had even earrings. He was very, very beautiful baby. His mother always would put a blue dhoti around him, and he looked brilliant, like crystal. But there was one problem. He was mute. He didn't speak. And his eyes were closed. And he couldn't hear anything. He was Rohini and the Brijbasis who saw this most beautiful, enchanting child. They're amazed. He's so beautiful. Everything is so so wonderful. But he doesn't speak. He doesn't. He seems he doesn't hear anything. And one day, Rohini brought Balaram to Mother Yashoda. She was pregnant at that time. The Lord was in her womb. It's a whole different subject. Krishna was born to Nanda and Yashoda. This is the opinion of the Vrindavan devotees. So she brought Balaram on the womb of Mother Yashoda, where there was Krishna inside. And immediately, little Balaram began to become alive and make sounds, and everything worked in contact with Krishna. He had waited for Krishna to come. So, when will Krishna lift you on his lap, Sundarananda? That would be wonderful. When will Krishna lift all of us on the lap? It's when we start to do our things, not mechanically. Then we will go on mechanically for a long time. We will start when we do things with absorption. And if you can't do this, pray to Krishna, please help me. If you can't pray, then pray that one day you can pray for this. This is, then Krishna sees, oh, he's serious. Very nice question, thank you. Good, so I will end my class here. I thank you all very, very much. Gaur Hari is with us, good. I will give you my microphone because the other... Oh my God. It works. Si Nityananda Rama ki jay. Srila Prabhupada ki jay. Si Si Radha Madan Mohan ki jay. Moving from mechanical practice to chanting with a heart key. Yeah. Hare Krishna.